morning. It's a great privilege to be here. Thank you for having me. And thank you, Peter Bai, for bringing me from Wellington. We come from Wellington today, and we are traveling quite a lot. And Peter was in Nepal. I think before I was born, you were in Nepal. Then probably I was 2 years when we were together. My mother, Peter, and some other people together opened a hospital in a remote part of Nepal at that time. Thank you, Peter Daju. I bring greetings from my family, and the Nepali greetings is Namaste. Can you say Namaste? Namaste. Also Indian, they do Namaste or Namaskar as well. Among the Christians, we have another greeting, Jai Masi. Maybe Annie Brown said Jai Masi last time when she was here. She also sends you greetings. Can we go to the next slide? Greetings from the churches of Nepal. I'm a pastor in Kathmandu, in a small church, but which serves wider church in the villages and remote areas of Nepal, in the mountains and in the plains also. So this is one of the churches where I went a few weeks before to minister among them. Nepal is a beautiful country, which Christine already showed us some pictures and shared with the beautiful scarf. Colorful. Nepali people love colors, and they always wear colorful dresses, especially the women's. And it's really beautiful. It starts from 50 meters height from the sea level and goes up to the tallest mountain in the world. Let's go to the next slide. Here I'm just want to bring a little bit of the history of the church in Nepal. You may know about it, but Nepal's church was always under big pressure and without freedom. There were three Catholic churches in Kathmandu before Nepal was formed. At that time, Nepal was more than 200 small kingdoms. And within Kathmandu Valley, which is the capital of Nepal, there were four kingdoms. And the kings in ruling there wanted Christians to come and do medical help. At the same time, they were allowed to bring new faith to the country. So at that time, Capuchin priests came to Nepal and started some churches. But once Nepal was united, king of Gorkha, you have heard Gorkha? You have so many Gorkhas here who fight to protect the Great Britain from long time. And we have military support to many countries like the Gorkha, into India, Brunei, Singapore. So Nepal's people work there as military or police. And Gorkha's king came to Kathmandu and he declared Kathmandu as the capital of the new country called Hindustan at that time, which meant the place of Hindu. Now India is called Hindustan, but originally Nepal used to be called Hindustan. But later, Nepal's formal name came as Nepal. And he said to the Christians in Nepal, there were about 54 families already became Christian. He said, either you convert to Hinduism or leave Nepal. So they had to leave Nepal. Nobody converted to Hinduism and stayed in India. And then only in 1952, our country was opened again. Once the British rule in India was over, Nepal was also changed at that time, and it was open. And there were people from England praying in the border of Nepal, India. And they were allowed to go to India at that time because British was ruling there. So they were praying along with some Nepalese. Once Nepal was open, they walked into Nepal. And in Pokhara, they started INF, if you have heard of that International Nepal Fellowship. That was the first mission getting into Nepal. And then slowly, more Christians from South India and also Darjeeling area came into Nepal. And then the church started. After 10 years, the king again took over. And then slowly he declared Nepal a Hindu kingdom. It was not declared Hindu kingdom before that. Officially, Nepal becomes Hindu kingdom, and conversion becomes a crime. And then till 1990, there were about 500 people in different periods of time in the jails of Nepal for sharing their faith with others. I was baptized in the border city in India. That was because if I'm baptized in Nepal, I could be gone to jail for 3 years, and the pastor who baptizes me would go to jail for 5 years, 6 years at that time. So we decided we'll cross the border and do it there. But the new law right now, it doesn't even permit that. Not allowed whether in Nepal or outside. Can we go to the next slide, please? So the growth of the church is tremendous. 1950, probably there were the first lot was about 12 people or so. Only a small number of people coming from India, they started the church. Slowly, slowly it grew. And in 1990, probably we have about 100,000 Christians in Nepal. But 1990 to 2016, it is grown very fast. That's because we got freedom. All those who were in jail were released in 1990. Then Nepal was in the process of changing. Political changes took place. There was war also, which was bad. But at the end, many things were changed. King was removed. Nepal no more remained Hindu kingdom. And a lot of freedom are granted. So up to 2015, we are kind of completely free to exercise, share, and believe on whatever you want to believe. But in the past 50 years, the gospel outreach was there all over Nepal, through radio, tracks, visiting, all that. And many people had experienced God working on them, and they believed inside. But once it was open, they all started becoming Christian, going to church. So thousands of churches started after that, and the church growth just went up like that. And the work of the Lord is growing, and I'm involved in several ministries. We live in Kathmandu, but we work for a whole Nepal. Lots of churches do network with us, and we do theological education by extension, so which means studying in the church. We provide materials, training to them. We support pastors for church planting, church buildings, educating Christian children, and several ministries are going on. So we are very thankful to everybody who prayed for Nepal. It is kind of freedom came into Nepal, and church is grown and still growing. And shall we go to the next slide? This is one village where I grew up, and Peter and others were there with INF Hospital. Last year in Christmas, they invited me to give message to all the churches coming together in a place. So it was an open air preaching. In the middle picture, there were about 10,000 people, and the MPs and government officials also in the dais. And I could just preach openly, even inviting MPs and the officials to accept Christ. And it is an equal opportunity for them as the people sitting, listening from other end. I also encourage church to go and preach. Don't stop it. And plant more churches. Things like that. But it is against the law now. We have freedom to worship, which means you can go to church if you are a Christian and pray. That's all. And you are not allowed to do anything outside. And for all, it's for all the minority religions except Hindus. All others only can worship, but can't share, cannot change or convert others. So this law made in 2016, and then in 2017, August, it was matured. The picture I was preaching is December, so after the law. But the government still considers Christmas and Easter is the time when you can speak. While other times, you can't speak. And they also consider if you are inside the church, you are safer. You can do things inside the church, but not completely safe. We have some incidences where the police came in the church and arrested pastor for praying a sick person. So Nepal was changed, but now in a very, very difficult situation. We have all the rights, like here. Abortion rights, gay marriage, third gender, right to culture, right to justice. So many rights that the United Nations listed are given. And right to freedom, freedom is also given. There is a title, right to freedom, in our constitution. But that doesn't grant you to share your faith. Or even you are not given opportunity to choose a faith for yourself or convert yourself. So whichever religion you are, you remain on that. That's the legal status. I would like to read some portions from Book of Acts. Let's go to the next slide. I have chosen several portions, but I will read some of it because I will not be able to do all. But I'm reading, going through the Book of Acts. These days, God is revealing new things to me. And I just want to share for encourage and also to pray for Nepal and to be part of how the church is growing there. And I can find that the early church were the people who were with Jesus were together meeting in Jerusalem. And I find it similar context now in Nepal. Acts chapter 8, 1 to 8, I'm reading from it. And Saul approved the killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged up both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with strikes, impure spirit came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was a great joy in the city. It starts a bit earlier, but here it reaches a climax of persecution at that time, that the priests of the temple and the leaders and officials some of them decided and some of them did the act of killing Stephen. And they agreed on this. And that was a kind of climax of the persecution started some time ago in the church of Jerusalem. Once Stephen was killed, it was a great fear among the believers. And it did not stop there. It says Saul went to house to house and dragged Christians, men and women, and put them in prison. So the church was very, very, very much afraid. But still, the faith was there. And they still knew Jesus is with them. So, because of this big persecution, the church scattered to many different places. And wherever they went, these are the believers, not the leaders, the simple believers of the church who ran away from the town. Apostles stayed in the city. And wherever they went, they spoke the word of God. They shared the word of God. And when they shared, God worked. So that is one big thing. When we speak God's word, when we share the word of God, He works. And the evil spirit came out of people. Sick people were healed. Lame started walking. And by seeing all these signs and wonders, people came and listened more to the people who are sharing. And that way, church again grew. And it multiplied in the places where the Lord actually wanted to go the message. It's not just Jerusalem where the Lord wanted believers to be. He wanted all over the world. But by that time, it was only Jerusalem where the believers were gathering and then praying. But after the persecution, it went out. And then people in Samaria also believed, and many other places. I compare this with the situation in Nepal. Nobody is killed like this until now, although there were several incidences where in the past where people were killed. But with the new system and everything, people are being arrested, harassed, threatened, mistreated, but nobody is killed. But still, the church is growing. It is not stopping. And while thinking about our context in Nepal, why the political people are doing this, why they want to stop Christians doing their work, why they want to stop Christians helping the poor, why they want to stop Christians helping the underprivileged people in the villages. And that is the reason is the growth of the church, and they fear that. The power belongs to those who take it unjustly. And they are not justful people. That's what makes Nepal a poor country. The leaders, they grab everything for themselves. The ministers or the bureaucrats, not many of them are good people. Corrupt. Very high corruption. And nobody thinks about others. They think about themselves. And if the Christian population grows in the country, Christians will not do that. They will not tolerate it. And there will be Christians in the political parties, bureaucrats, everywhere, and they can't plan to do bad things. And that is one big fear. Hinduism says you can lie if it does anything good. So it's allowed to lie. So you could also do other things which makes something good. So it may be for yourself. If it is good for yourself, you can do it. That is the mentality of the leaders. And they are fearful that the Christian teaching can change all that. At the same time, Christians are making everybody equal. In the church, nobody is up and down, all equal. But once you go out, we have caste system. In Nepal, we have 120 different languages and more than 100 ethnic groups, small groups, many. And they have classes, which one comes under which. So they are not equal. But in the church, we are all equal. Another section I wanted to read is chapter 8, 17. Here, why apostles were persecuted. I'm reading from 8:17. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple court, he said, and tell the people all about the new life. Then I'm reading from 23. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officer and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict order not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. Again, similar. My friend Diliram Powdel was in Dang to teach the pastors from different districts. And the program was inside a church. And one morning, police came, the second day, early morning while they were having breakfast. And then the police said, sir, we have some questions to ask you. Please come with us to police station. And they asked him to go into his car because there are four people with him. And the police followed them. Once they reached the police station, they said, you are under arrest. And your car and all the things are confiscated. Then he was put in the prison, public jail, with others, with even bad people. But for 3 days, he was not allowed to communicate with any Christians or his family. And only after that we could communicate. On seventh day, they brought him to court. And court released them on bail. Similarly, three people praying in a home were arrested. It was midday, and they were arrested for praying at home. And in the police station, council people also came, and they asked them not to pray at home, only pray in the church. This year, there were 20 arrests in Nepal. And in all these arrests, the police says you are not allowed to talk about Jesus outside the church. Like this. Here, Peter and the apostles were ordered not to talk about Jesus or the teachings of Jesus outside. Strict orders. But Peter and the apostles said, we must obey God rather than human beings. I've also seen here Acts 4:20. And our condition is similar. And many pastors were forced to sign that I will not be sharing gospel outside. But as soon as they come out, they start sharing the gospel. They don't stop. Diliram came out, and then we did a prayer service immediately after their release. It was in the evening. And he spoke for half an hour. None of the believers who were arrested were silent. So people cannot stop you once the Holy Spirit is in you who speaks out. The world may try to stop you. They give you order. The law says you cannot attempt to convert anybody by giving anything or without giving anything, by force or without force. An attempt to convert is sharing the gospel, inviting people to church, praying for them. All these things are considered attempt to convert. Even prayer at home was considered attempt to convert and not allowed. All those things are not allowed. Still, the church is going forward and doing the things it was supposed to do. Let me read from Acts chapter 4, 23 and 24. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voice together in prayer to God, sovereign Lord. They said, "You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." This is what happens in the persecution situation. Once you are released, you go to the church. You go to the people who are praying for you. And when you are in trouble, when there is, you don't see any way of escape, you pray to the Lord because He can change things. And He is sovereign. He has power. He can send angels. As I said about Dili Ram's case, he was brought to court. Police said they were giving dollars and Bibles to people to make them Christians, which was untrue. But Lord was there, and He was talking to the judge. The court generally stops at 4:30 p.m. and 5 o'clock they close the office. But that day, the court hearing went on for 5:30. Judge was very much keen to release these Christians. He knew that he shouldn't keep them in. But he did not know how to do it, because the law says they need to be sent to prison for 5 years. So he asked the lawyer we brought from Kathmandu, who is an expert in religious freedom. He asked, "This law says this. How can you say I can release them?" And our lawyer would answer that. And then again, the judge asked another question. Here it says this way. And all those questions were answered. And at 5:30, judge said, I release all of you without any bail amount. And he also said that generally the lawyers would ask for confiscated things to take back. But you didn't ask, I allow you to take all the things. Car and laptop and the Bibles and everything that police took. So that was how the Lord is working. And we feel that. And once we come out and we share it with others, and that is very powerful. In Matthew 20:22-23, the disciples did not know what they were asking, but the Lord knew it. And it's about drinking from the same cup as Jesus. And disciples did it at the end. And Acts 4:4, again. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew about 5,000. So, as the persecution event happens, more people come. And we are encouraged by this. The church is not empty. We meet on Saturday, not on Sunday, because Sunday is a working day. So last Saturday, I received a message from our church in Kathmandu. They said, the room is full. It's good. And we are moving to a bit bigger room where we can fit 20 more people. But we need still bigger. We need to fit a few thousand people into that church. And every church is like that. You start a church, it will be filled within a year, mostly in Nepal. It's happening like this. In Philippians, we can see from the Paul's persecution on Paul, we can see that other churches are encouraged, other believers are encouraged. And Hebrews 13:3 says, "Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. So this is the verse I want to give you at the end to pray with us and be with us, be part, because global church, we are one family, and the church in Nepal is suffering, but we are with joy, we are not sad. We want freedom, but still, even though there is suffering, we will continue, we will go on. And thank you for being with us in prayer and different kind of support. Can we go to, I have a few more slides, and then I will close. A vision for us, next one, please. Vision is to have at least one church in every village of Nepal and a Bible to every house. So please pray for this. And the next, this is our church in Kathmandu. Just made a bigger room and moving there, and feels like it will be filled again very soon. We still need a bit bigger. Let's go to the other one. Here I have listed some of the things we do where you can pray for to achieve the vision, to go into that vision. Our TE program, we have about 7,000 students doing different courses. We help church planting, church leaders conferences, trainings. We do help the on advocacy and legal part when there are problems. We have a church in Kathmandu among deaf and two other places also. And we support Christian children to go to school and have a good education. So I'd like to ask you to pray for these things. Can we go to next? I may have two more slides. Some children and some are graduated whom we supported. And we love, my wife and myself, we are quite involved in education support of the children in Kathmandu and outside also. Last one. And thank you very much. This is a Easter rally where our church went with this banner saying that Jesus Christ is alive forever. Thank you.